Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you guys, I want to say good evening to everyone. This is your host, Lita, on Say Your Peace Radio Network. And you guys, I am excited. We have Mr. Danger Man in the house. How are you, Mr. Danger Man? Well, I guess if I look, turn on his mic, I guess.
Leave your message and disconnect. Press star 9 or just hang up. If you need more time, press 8.
Sorry about that. Mr. Danger Man, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Great, great, great. I was calling you at the same time. I think we were calling each other.
Oh, each other. Okay.
Yeah, attempting to call each other, that is.
That's right. That's right. Okay. That's okay.
Okay, but sir.
All right.
You have to tell me all about Danger Man. I mean, we have to hear it.
Hear it straight from my mouth, huh?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, you know, I'm the real life urban superhero, Danger Man.
Uh-huh.
And I have a little tag sometime I do. I tell them, yeah, it's Danger Man, the one the buzz is about. And when I come to town, the bad guys creep out. No one can tell you how I do what I do, but watch me and my caution crew break it down for you.
How long?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm a real-life superhero, okay, as opposed to those superheroes who aren't real life, like Batman, Superman, and all those other guys who are just comic book superheroes, okay? I also have a comic book, and I have a film, and we're doing a web series, but I'm a real life superhero, and I do real life stuff, okay?
Oh,
and,
man.
You know, so that's the difference, and, you know, I've been doing this for 15 years, okay?
Really?
And, yeah, 15 years, celebrating 15 years this year, all right? And yeah, and I'm very excited about the work I do because I get to touch so many people's lives. You know, mainly my mission is about young people, but I get to touch older people's lives as well. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you want to do this? What started you 15 years ago to do this?
Well, in 1998, there was an Hispanic family, and they were taking their 4-year-old daughter to a birthday party. She was sitting in the back seat, you know, and so they were going. They were on the 10 freeway here in Los Angeles. For those who know, the 10 freeway is a freeway that runs, you know, east and west. And so they were on the 10 freeway, and they got off in East Los Angeles, and they were lost. And they were driving through streets and alleys trying to find their way. And while driving, a bullet crashed through the back window and killed their 4-year-old daughter.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
Yeah. And so I was, like, devastated. I heard that. I said, you know, because I have a daughter. I said, oh, my God. I said, here we are in the greatest country in the land, and we can't protect our children. Our children are in danger, okay? And so, you know, and it's still happening now, okay, you know. But, you know, then, you know, it impacted me. So that one, when I saw it on the news and heard that story, I said, you know, I want to do something about it, okay? You know, I want to make a difference. I want to help keep our kids out of danger. So, you know, so I didn't come up with Danger Man right then, okay? It was like, it took a minute because I was saying, okay, I said, how can I best impact, you know, children and people in our communities? I said, okay, I can go around and talk to kids about guns and kids don't mix, and to parents as well, you know, make sure we keep guns out of the hands of our kids and try to keep guns out of our community, okay? And so then what happened, I was working on that, and then I said, well, how will I do it as, okay? You know, so then I'll do it as a superhero, because people are amazed with superheroes, and they like what, you know, the mission that superheroes are. They save the day, okay, and they give them hope, okay, to hold on, okay, you know. And so I said, I'll create a superhero, all right. And so I went to a movie, and the movie was called Long Kiss Goodnight. Samuel Jackson and Gina Davis, okay? And Samuel Jackson, you know, he played a private detective in the movie. And then I used to be a private detective for like 16 years. So, you know, I knew the grind, okay? And so I watched him and Gina Davis, and he helped her get out of some drama that she had. And so I went to that movie, and I came out of the movie, and I said to my friend, I said, wow, that was like, he was like a danger man, okay? He was in danger. He got shot and stabbed and blown up and everything. He was in danger, but look at him. He came out of it. I said, that's it. I'll name my character Danger Man, okay? And I will be the urban superhero. And that's what I did, okay? And I said, well, what am I going to look like, okay? So I knew this guy. He was an art student, all right? And so I had him to jot some, you know, we start talking about, okay, I want his suit to look like this. I want his head to look like this, you know, kind of trying to, you know, feel it out. And so, you know, it took a couple months to do that. So finally after we came up with something, I took it to this lady that somebody introduced me to out in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And her name is Linda Stokes, and Linda Stokes is a costume designer. Okay. You know, yeah, and she's awesome. So I set up a meeting with her and went out, and I showed her what I had. She said, oh, okay, well, we can make some improvements on that. So, you know, we fooled around with the design, and then we came up with a design I liked, and, you know, and gave her some money. I said, girl, go ahead. Okay. And so she worked on it, and, you know, and stirred and fried and shaked and baked, and we came up with my first superhero costume. You know, I'm on my second one now. Okay, this is a different one. But then, because that one had a big red cape, and it had a lot of colors, and it was a lot of drama, okay? You know, because the cape was huge, okay? You know, and the kids loved the cape because, you know, kids, oh, we got a cape, you know, okay? You know, but it was a lot, okay? And and the mask was a lot because it covered my face and had a big DM on my face. But on my chest, it just had a DM, you know. So I would go someplace and people would say, DM? Or who you supposed to be, DM? What that mean, you know? And I was always having to explain it to people, okay? So I said, oh, that's too much drama. So then what happened when the New York thing, the Twin Towers thing, the terrorist thing happened in New York.
9/11.
The what?
9/11.
Yeah, 9/11, yeah. When 9/11 came, I said, okay, I'm going to reinvent myself, okay? And so I came up with a new costume, one that I could change in very quickly, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, since we don't have phone booths anymore, you know, because, you know, Superman used to change in a phone booth, or sometimes he just run and change, okay? Then I needed something that I could change in quickly and, you know, and a suit that wasn't a lot of drama, because my first suit was actually two suits put together. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to put on the first suit that had the muscles in it. And then I had to put on another suit that had the cape and everything else. And they zipped up in the back. So it was hard to put my arm all the way in my back and zip up my suit. So I always had to pick someone if I was changing the restroom or anything, and say, hey, would you zip me up? Okay. You know, and it was weird. Okay. So I said, I need something quick where I could change real quick and still, you know, and was very easy to deal with. Okay. And so so we came up with this second suit and reinvented Danger Man. Then we put a flag on the back and got rid of the cape. Because, you know, everybody was wearing a flag after 9/11, right? And so I put a big flag on the back and got rid of the cape. And then we started working on initiatives like literacy, okay? Because we found out that kids that read and are interested in reading and school and books are less likely to get involved in gangs, guns, and drugs, okay? And so, you know, so we were pushing that as our strong initiative, reading. You know, our kids need to read more, okay? The more you read, the more you learn. The more you learn, the more you earn, okay? You know?
So I had
like thousands of books that were donated to my organization, and I was going around the country giving books out to kids, okay, you know, and, you know, talking about reading. Yeah, don't you love to read? You know, because if you don't read, and it's true, if you don't read, then you're most likely going to be a failure in life.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, you got to read. You got to understand what you're reading, and because even if you don't love reading, you have to be able to read. All right, because you can't get a job if you can't read the application to fill it out or simple signs on the board or on the road, okay? And so we are pushing that initiative very heavy. And And then it just kind of grew from there, you know. And then it went on to safety issues, talking to kids about being safe, you know, being safe at home or at school, you know, and being like danger stranger, say, don't let kidnappers pick you up, and what to do if somebody comes to you on the street and say, hey, Jamal, see my dog? You like my little dog? Let's take him for a walk. Get in my car with me, you know. Say no to strangers. But why they need to say no to strangers? So, you know, it all just kind of grew with keeping kids safe and keeping our community safe, all right? And, you know, then it went on to a child obesity. We do, you know, where I talk to kids about the dangers from not eating properly and the dangers about not exercising on a daily basis, all right? And so I have a program called Fun, Fitness, and Good Health, okay? Well, I talk to kids about, hey, guys, you know, you got to be healthy. You got to be, you know, you got to, you know, watch your diet, eat properly, and get your sleep, okay, so that you can be sharp in school. You know, like Danger Man, like me, okay, you know. And the kids, they love that, okay. You know, yeah, you want to be healthy and have wellness like Danger Man, okay, and be a superhero for good health, all right. And so it just, you know, the program just started started building and building, okay. And, you know, it's I call it the Danger Man brand is the fastest growing superhero brand in the world. I'm telling
really?
You, you know, it's awesome. I'm telling you, I do, because I have a huge, huge fan base around the world. And I travel. I actually travel around the country and to different cities, delivering a strong message, empowering children to live their best life, life through education. And by living a healthy lifestyle, you know. And,
now,
you know,
have you been?
To,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, have you been to Louisiana?
Yes, but it was how long ago was it? Louisiana was. It's been about 8 years since I've been to Louisiana.
Hey, see, it's been a while.
Yeah, but it's actually on. We have. We're going to be doing a tour here, so. Louisiana is actually on my on our tour list to come
Yeah,
through.
You know, because you know we suffer from obesity, child obesity here, Rob. You know that, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And we're in fact Mississippi.
Yeah,
we were down there about 3 or 4 years ago. Okay. You know. And but yeah.
Do you? Go ahead. It's about time for you to come back around again.
Absolutely. Yeah, right. Absolutely. All right. So, you know, we're real excited about it. And, you know, the work, you know, the work excites me. So I love to do it. I love, you know, what I do and be able to, you know, lift up kids and in our communities. And by doing it as Danger Man, it's very unique, okay? And people notice you and they listen to you to find out if, you know, you got something to say, okay? And, but, you know, it automatically, okay, because everybody loves a superhero, right? You know, yeah, they love superheroes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, and so, you know, so that's what we do on the education side, you know, because we, you know, we have our education side, then we have our entertainment side of what we do, which is, you know, so every superhero has to have an antagonist, and then he has, like, a backstory. So, so the backstory for Danger Man is that, his alias is Max Manley. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Max Manley is an investment banker by day. And he has a wife. He has a wife and a family. His wife is named Brenda Manley, and she's a veterinarian, okay? And then they have two kids. They have Max Jr., and Max Jr. is 10 years old. And then they have Brittany, and Brittany is 12 years old. Now, my kids, they don't know that I'm a superhero, all right? And so my wife has to keep that, you know, because for their protection, you know, we keep that from them, okay? And so, you know, and that's it. And we live in Ladera, okay? We have a big house that says, and on the gate it says the Manly. It has our initials on the gate, all right? And and then on the second floor of our house, down the hallway, is a secret door. Okay, and our kids don't even know that the door is there, all right? And so, you know, when I'm when I have to get out and go become Danger Man, I you know, I tell them, oh dear, I'll be back. I have a meeting or something, and I walk up, go down this hallway, and in the back, and then I press the panel, the door opens, mm-hmm. and it drops me 100 feet down below the house where the danger zone is. Okay, and
uh-huh.
And in the danger zone is my car, which is called the Danger One. All right, and you know, as opposed to the Danger Mobile, we call it the Danger One. And then my secret laboratory. I have computers and a lab where I, you know, work and investigate certain crimes and the rest of my Danger Man suits and you know, any weapons or anything like that that I need to help me fight the bad guys. Okay,
uh-huh.
you know, yeah. And then there's a secret tunnel that comes out, you know, a few miles away that lets me out off a. Off of La Brea Avenue where these oil derricks are. The hill just opens up, okay, you know, and the hill opens up, and my car rolls out, okay, and the hill closes back up again, okay, you know, and then I'm on my way, okay, you know, and I don't have a Robin, so there's no Robin, you know, because, well, Danger Man, do you have a sidekick? Is there a Robin? You know, like Batman and Robin, you know, okay, you know, but no, actually, I have... you know, the Danger One, my car is my crime-fighting partner, but I also have in my iPhone is Xena. Okay, she comes out. She's a hologram, all right?
Okay.
And she's my assistant. She runs my computer. The computer is in my car because the car talks to me and through my danger zone, all my computer systems, okay? And she alerts me and stuff and comes out, and I can be on a case, and she'll come out of the phone and give me a message or tell me what's going on, okay? And then she can pop back into the phone, all right? And you know, and it's pretty cool stuff. I'm telling you, it's then I have there's a detective on the police department, Detective Rodriguez, and Detective Rodriguez is my contact into the police department. He tells me what's going on, and he's the only one that can contact me through the police department to get me, all right? And you know, even though the police department, they're not real fond of my activities, okay? You know, because I'm not a sworn police officer, okay? You know.
Exactly. And,
yeah.
Antics.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, but, yeah, you know, and I love it. I mean, you know, we've gotten so much, you know, excitement about it. And people love the excitement about it because they can actually, being a real life superhero, they can actually talk to me and touch me. You know?
Yeah.
You know, when I go to different events, because I go to a lot of events. I'm at different runs, like I say, healthcare runs. I'm at there's a bunch of drug runs and walks that I attend. You name it, the Danger Man is in the community. All right. You know, putting on a positive face and positive words. Yesterday, I was helping out at the Jackson Limousine Service. They do this huge turkey giveaway, like 10,000 turkeys, okay?
Man.
And your boy Danger Man was down there for 4.5 hours yesterday, you know, helping people helping them carry their you know, their goods to their cars, because, I mean, it was some heavy stuff, you know, because they had the turkey, they got dressing, you know, it's enough fixings for them to go home and make a major dinner, okay? And
exactly.
So, you know, yeah, so they needed a lot of volunteers. This is like my fourth or fifth year going down and helping with them, okay? And yet, you know, I took pictures with folks and signed some autographs and, you know, spreading the brand and spreading our mission and what we do to help make this world a safer and healthier place for our children.
Now, how does your family feel about you, like your kids and, you know, your immediate family? How do they feel about you being Danger Man?
Well, I have one daughter, and you know, she's in fact, she lives in Atlanta, and she's a teacher and a middle school teacher, and she's working on her PhD, and so she's cool about it. She, you know, at first I think she was like, okay, Dad, what's up with the costume, Dad? Okay, you know, because her mom, me and her mom are divorced, but my ex-wife is a minister. Okay, you know,
uh-huh.
and so She said, okay, Dad, okay. So Mom's a minister, and you're a superhero, okay? All right, Dad, you know. You know, okay. And, you know, and so now she's gotten used to it because it's weird because we're friends on Facebook, okay?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and it's weird being, like, you know, on a social media site with your kids, you know, it's, like, weird,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I follow her post, and you know, and I'll be, and so I'll come in, and people say, they'll say, "What, hey Veronica, you have a superhero commenting on your post?" You know, because I don't comment as a dad; I just comment as Danger Man. You know, and okay, I don't give her any advice; I just comment. Okay, let's go. You know, she said, you know, and her friend's like, "Who is that guy? He's a superhero. You know, a superhero, Veronica." You know, okay, you know, and so it's cool, and then my dad, my mom and dad, my dad passed about 6 years ago. But before he passed, you know, my parents were, you know, first my dad was trying to get used to it because he was an educator as well, okay? And he was like, mm-hmm. okay, you know, does that how we raised you to be a superhero? You know, I said, yeah, Dad, you know. You know, he's like, because, you know, he's very conservative. He's like, okay. Okay, are you making money at that? You know, and you know, but my mom was real cool. She said, "Well, yeah, she said, well, Wayman, you know, none of the other boys are helping the kids or doing anything towards education. So, you know, this is really exciting. You know, because I have three brothers, and you know, they do something completely different. Okay, and so, you know, he was so you know, they got used to it. And now my mom is really used to it because, like I said, my dad passed. So she's like, you know, sometimes I'll call her up. She's 89 years old. And I'll call her up. She said, hi, Danger Man. You know, oh, I said, hey, Mom. You know, okay. You know, and I even did a video on YouTube with her, you know, when I gave her my first comic book. And I did it and posted it on YouTube, you know, and I got a lot of great comments on it. And so, yeah, she's really gotten used to it. And then my brothers are, you know, they're like, okay, you know. You know, I have my oldest brother. He thinks it's a gimmick, you know, and you know, because he's a you know big symphony, you know, musician. Okay, and but my other brothers are real cool with it. You know, one of them calls me, "Hey, Danger Man," you know, and we Skype all the time, you know, and you know, so you know, so they're all you know they're all getting it doesn't make any difference, you know, because Danger Man is here to stay. Okay.
Yeah,
know?
He's
okay.
Got on over yeah. No matter what nobody say, huh?
That's right. No matter what you say, Danger Man is here, okay, you know, for the long haul, all right? And so, yeah, you know, I get to, you know, get to have some fun, and I get to make a difference, okay? And, you know, so, you know, the work is good work because, you know, we keep handling issues that, you know, because I have this huge YouTube channel, okay, you know, called Urban Superhero. It's on YouTube. It's called Urban Superhero. And I post a video every day, okay?
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out then. I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, I post a video every day. And it's called, you know, and my videos, they're called Danger Moments, okay?
Uh-huh.
Danger Man Moments. And I come on, I say, hi, this is Danger Man, the Urban Superhero, and this is another Danger Man Moment, all right? And so I talk about things that are on my mind or things that are on the news, and I give my twist, okay, and how I feel that, you know, Hodge, and it kind of how it relates to either, you know, our health and wellness or our safety of our kids or something, you know, and, you know, like if there's a police shooting, okay, involving a youth, okay, you know, I talk about the shooting and I talk about how it could have been prevented, okay, you know, you know, about, you know, well, talking to your boys, okay, if the cops tell you to stop, okay, you know. Don't run from the cops, okay? Because some of them are trigger happy, okay? And you know, so don't run from them. If they tell you to stop, tell you to freeze, tell you what you're doing, obey the police. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you'll have a chance. You know, if you don't agree, if they call your names, let them call your names. So that at least you're alive, okay? And then you can file a grievance or file a report later, okay? But don't run from them because that gives them a chance, you know, to. To say, well, he ran and he had a weapon. I thought he had a weapon, okay? You know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, if they tell you to stay in your car, stay in your car, okay? You know. And so, you know, some of these kind of things I talk about, all right? And You know, and so every day, you know, I post a video, okay? And so a huge fan base on YouTube. People just, you know, I have people follow me. And I have haters, too, you know, is that?
Well, of course you're going to have that.
Yeah, that's right, right. Because I'm real adamant about gun control, okay?
Yeah.
And finding ways to, you know, control this gun violence, okay? You know,
yeah.
Especially in our communities because we've got too many young folks dying, okay?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and it just breaks, yeah, and it really breaks my heart, okay, because it doesn't need to happen. We need to find out why and how we can prevent all these guns that are out there, okay, you know.
Well, you know, I say this about guns, you have guns in poor neighborhoods, poor communities. We don't have money for guns. Where are these guns coming from? See, I believe in fighting gun control and all that, mm-hmm. but we got to look where the guns come from. We got to look
where they're coming from
because we can't get them. We don't own no gun shops. I've never met in my lifetime, I'm saying in my lifetime, a African-American who owns a gun shop. Never have I ever met that. So I don't know if there's some out there that you can just go buy a gun. I haven't met them yet. So we have to look at the source, like we say with drugs. We don't mm-hmm. own ships. We don't own airplanes. We don't have leeways to customs and all this. We don't have that. So where is this coming from and for it to trickle down into the black neighborhoods, the black communities, and it's infiltrating it, and it's like we have no control over it. So where is it coming from? We need to look for where it's coming from, where the source is, and then go after that source. Instead of locking up all users, go after the ones who's bringing it in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But a lot of times with these guns, you know, they're coming into the community stolen, okay?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You got people selling them out the back of their trunks, okay?
Yeah.
And or breaking into people's houses, stealing them, okay? And one of my number one enemies is the NRA, okay?
Yeah.
Because they, and I've actually done some videos, I'll say, you know, when I talk about a shooting, I'll say, yeah, the NRA is being investigated, you know, for this shooting, okay? Because the NRA is responsible for a lot of these guns being out there because the NRA is always there to fight any kind of gun law that comes up, okay?
Exactly.
You know, and a lot of them are sensible. Like, you know, if you're a gun owner and you lose your gun, somebody steals your gun, then you should be required by law to report it to the police department. Yes, my gun was stolen. Here's the number, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, all right. Or if you sell your gun to somebody, you know, it should be you just can't sell it to your neighbor or sell it to the kid who washes your car, okay? They need to go have a background check. So every gun should be registered. We should know where every gun is, okay? And but the NRA, they fight tooth and nail, okay? And because they get paid by these gun manufacturers as well, you know, okay?
Exactly.
You know,
and they pay
for
people to lobby. Themselves, you know, you think, they're the biggest enemy of gun control. They are the biggest.
Yeah, they are. Right. You know, and a lot of these politicians get money from the NRA, so you know they're not real big on you know, on seeing some of these gun laws because they don't want to stop their money coming in.
Yeah, the money. Talk about money. When you argue with the NRA, you talk about money. They don't want that money stop coming in to pockets because
Yeah. Right.
Like,
they call me all kind of names on YouTube. They call me, you know, the N-word 4 or 5 times in different ways. And,
really?
You know. Yeah. They say, yeah, why don't you get your black people? They got the guns and, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, forget you. Okay. You know. And so, you know. And so, but the answer to guns is not more guns. You know, that's not
that's
the answer
right.
to gun control.
That's right.
You know. All right. Or you know, having teachers. I don't want my teacher in my kid's school, you know, my daughter's out of school, but if I had a kid in school, I don't want my teacher walking around with a kid with a gun on, all right? You know,
me neither.
I totally agree with you.
Because she could get angry, come in there having a bad day, and before you know it, there's too many crazy things going on. And like you said, you have guns in the hands of crazy people. Most of the people are not sane and got it all together when they do all the their shootings.
Yeah.
Those are people who... some issues going on.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And And if you notice, since Sandy Hook, you know, there has been no gun laws passed. Okay.
No.
No. And all them babies got shot. And then since then, there's been a lot more babies that got shot, and no gun laws have been passed.
Nope.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, it seems like every time somebody gets shot, somebody get paid. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
Somebody getting paid somewhere, you know, for all those guns to be out there. It's just like I said, if we could get a grip on the drugs and the guns, America really wouldn't have as many problems as they have. I really believe that. If we could get a grip on, but you got so many people with their hands, so many big name people with their hands in both of those issues that it would probably be, you know, totally impossible to get a grip on it.
Right,
I'm not
going
to say empty, but to the point now, it's totally impossible because we've allowed it to get where it's at now.
Yeah, yeah, we have, you know. But the thing that really breaks my heart is all the children that we have lost in our community to this gun violence. You know, because if you look at, in most of these schools, you look at the percentage, when you talk about a shooting, and you know, like in a school or in the community, it's black kids that are getting shot.
Yeah.
You know, just yesterday here in Los Angeles, a 17-year-old, you know, good student, you know, in school. He was sitting in his car talking to a friend of his. A black SUV pulls up. Somebody gets out and fires into the car and kills him. Nobody knows, you know, he won a gang member. And these kind of things, they're happening every day in all of our urban cities. These aren't white kids getting shot like this. These are black, these are African-American children that are getting shot down every day. Same stories, you know, innocent kids getting shot. Okay, these, a lot of these aren't gangbangers. These are, you know, kids that had basketball scholarships or kids that are, you know, that are straight-A students, okay, that or just in Houston, Texas last week, there was a, see, these kids were having, teenagers were just having a birthday party at their home, okay, you know. And it had about 60 kids, and I think the parents, you know, it was really under control. And then, you know, because they had put it on social media site, and that was a no-no. They put it on social media, and it ended up three teenagers were killed and 20 were injured. Somebody got into the party, was mad or something because they couldn't get in, and ended up spraying everybody and killed them, you know. And these are all black kids. All right.
Yeah,
and,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're our own worst enemy to a certain extent, and I don't know if we're getting through to our children. I don't know. I think it's more to it. I was listening to another show, and a guy who is one of the counselors for the Cook County Detention Center in Chicago, you know, where they were doing all, and he was saying that they're letting these kids out on medications like lithium, you know, people who have manic depression, you know, those type of medications, schizophrenia, and they're putting them on this medication and then sending them out, you know, releasing them. And they're saying a lot of the people, a lot of those kids who were doing the shooting came from his detention center. I, just listening to the story, I was like, man, and he's
That's
brave
bizarre.
To talk about it. You know, well, we're good at putting our kids, you know, our kids ADHD. You know, we're so quick to label our children when lots of times the kids just need you to stop doing what you're doing and pay attention
That's
to
right.
me.
Pay
you
attention know? To them, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
So
you
look
Absolutely.
At it like that. So what I'm trying to say is how else can we get through to these children to get them to stop doing what they're doing? You know, how else can we do it?
Well, you know, I think one way is that the kids, you know, and it's going to take parents. I mean, you really have to know what your kids are doing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every second, you need to be nosy. I mean, when I was a kid, I couldn't hide anything from my parents, okay? All right, and we didn't even have cell phones. Okay, you know. All right,
that's right.
And so, you have to know what your kids are doing, who they're involved, who their friends are, okay, and what they're doing at you know at all times. Okay, all right.
Exactly.
And we need to go back to enforcing these curfews. Okay, you know. Hey, you can't be out this time of night, or I need a call from you. You know where you're going. But one problem is, we got so many kids that are raising kids, all right, and they didn't benefit from the kind of you know, parents that you know, like I had or like you had, that say that, okay, I want to know where you're at. You know, okay, a lot of these parents, they don't know how to parent, okay?
Oh, no.
And they're too busy, you know, doing their thing that, you know, that these kids fall through the cracks, okay? And then they're
exactly.
out there, and then things happen to them, okay? And they don't have the mentors out there to say, hey, boy, come here, let me talk to you, okay? You know, what you doing hanging out here on the street, okay? Go home, all right? And, you know, and so they, you know, they end up in these situations that end them and have them either killing them somebody and then or them, you know, that happening to them, okay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
you know, so we really need, I think, you know, more of a hands-on on our young people to, you know, to let them know that, you know, that you are somebody, and there's that you can't just take a life. And there's, you know, there's circumstances that you'll have to deal with, okay? And that, you know, but these kids, I'm telling you, it's just, these kids are just violent, okay?
Yes.
And yeah.
Well, you
and then
besides
the fact that what they're looking at, the images that they're getting, too.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, because when I was a kid, there weren't those
games.
Kind of images.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Well, you think about all the video games that they play.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
All that stuff is crazy. I don't have video games. My son is grown, so I don't have that problem. But
mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't see why we want to be, like, some of them think that it's all right to die. I'm not worried about seeing. I'm not looking for my future. I'm 20 now. Maybe I'll make 24. Maybe I'll make the next age. I don't know, because I'm living that life. And I don't know, our children don't realize how precious they really are, and that they are the generation. They are the next generation.
That's right.
They are,
yeah,
we
right.
are. They are a legacy, and no one telling them that, that they
mm-hmm.
are our legacy. You guys are what's left. When we go,
mm-hmm.
you guys take over. And
yeah,
if you go
right.
think that you're going down, you're not going to be able to maintain. You're not.
Right. And they need to understand that that's just not a slogan. Okay.
No.
You know, that there's truth to that. That yeah, we need you. But, I mean, I would like to really get some figures and numbers about how many, you know, in all these cities over the last, you know, 10 years, how many African-American children have been shot or murdered. Okay. I bet you the number is just, you know, astronomical. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the fact, and it, but it, and it happens every day. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
And it, you know, like, every day in these cities, you know, it happens, okay? And we're going to these funerals, and you see, like, the parent I saw on TV last night, and the people, and the mother was saying, you know, she said, God, we just want to know, you know, turn yourself in. These people, they're not going to turn yourself in, you know, but she was brokenhearted, you know, her son was gone, you know, they had hype, they had hopes for him, okay? You know?
Yeah.
You know, they had hopes of him going to college and you know, and his whole life just being, you know, and they loved him, and now he's gone just like that
yeah.
for no apparent reason, okay? You know,
and
every day you see the same, you know, different parents, and the parents are, you know, and a lot of these murder kids, the kids were just there. They were just there,
mm-hmm.
okay? They weren't participating in no game. They were just there. I'm not talking about the kids in Chicago getting shot. I'm just talking about the innocent kids that are just coming out of McDonald's or going in the 7-Eleven or just driving in their car or going down the freeway. Okay, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, we had another kid that got shot on the freeway. He's driving down the freeway and somebody just shoots him. Okay, now we don't know whether you know who this was that shot him, but why is this violence happening to our kids? Not that I wanted to happen to other kids, but this gun violence has got to stop.
It's almost
okay.
like it's almost like a genocide of our population, of our race, to be honest with you. It's a sort of genocide, because once you shoot somebody, the next thing you're going is to prison. So who fills up the prisons? We do.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right.
Rather
right,
build
right.
a prison than build a school. Why do you think
uh-huh.
they'd rather take money and improve on the buildings that they put us in, opposed to improving on our education? Public education is becoming right now extinct. They're trying to do away with public education. Look at
yeah,
what they're
right,
doing
right.
to it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
who does it affect the most? The African-American,
mm-hmm.
the Hispanic, the minorities. public school affects us. So when you little by little trying to break it down and tear it down, so what else do you have for us? You have no solution for us, but yet and still you're taking away from us what is supposed to be ours. We pay taxes. Why are we to the point where we're allowing the public school system to do what they're doing? I'm trying to figure that out too when it comes to education.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because
Right.
Go ahead.
Because look at how many schools did they close down in Chicago? Like 50 schools or something?
30. No, is it 30 or 50? I think it was 30 schools closed down, like out of nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
I think Chicago and Michigan and maybe some of Ohio. Chicago and Michigan for sure. I think they got something planned for them two states. I think everything that's happened in Michigan was strategically put in place. And not only am I thinking that, other people are thinking that that governor did all of that on purpose, because I cannot fathom the idea that Detroit, one of the major is broke.
Right.
They're saying that they think it's more going on there. They think it's purposely done where there's a high population of African-Americans. That's what they seem to be gearing all this toward. And that's me with my conspiracy theory.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. I'm from Detroit. I was born in Detroit, okay?
And
I love Detroit, and I hate to see what's happening
to live
it, okay?
Saginaw,
okay. All right, okay.
Yeah.
Saginaw. Yeah, Saginaw was a shoot-em-up place, okay?
So it's like they've done, I don't know. I just think it's more to the ideal of when you think about Chicago, when you think about Illinois and Michigan and how they've deteriorated in some areas worse than others.
Yeah,
and
right,
for them to come in and change everything and take things away from these people, I don't think it's everything like they're saying. I think it's more to it than just what they're showing us, or the media
what they're showing
is showing us. But back
and
to
in Detroit, they have like 35 or 40,000 homes that were vacant, just blocks and blocks of homes.
I mean, where did you do that at?
Yeah.
So that's why
they had thousands. They had thousands of dogs running around because people left their dogs. So they have thousands of pit bulls running the streets of Detroit. Okay, hungry. Okay, snapping at people. Because they need something to eat. Okay, and so the dog pound is slowly every day trying to go and capture as many as they can. All right, So
that's sad. That is sad.
Right.
We're at a
point
like.
Right.
It's okay. Let's don't talk sad stuff anymore, because about it, and I think about even like with me working with the children down here. I used to be a correction officer when I was in Tennessee, and then I dealt with grown folks, and then I wind up being part of the Youth Challenge Program. I was a casualty with the Youth Challenge Program and dealt with younger kids that were either headed there or we were trying to prevent them from going there. And it's just amazing how their everyday lives were. And a lot of this, just listening to their stories, a lot of this was because the parents were not available. When I say available, I'm not talking about just on the physical. I'm talking about on the mental and the emotional level. They were not available. So these kids were trying to act out how they were feeling inside. And you're dealing with this because this is what your job is. You're dealing with these girls fighting like two men. You're dealing with trying to get understand you can't do this. And some of them we tried to hold on to them as long as we can, but they kept on getting in trouble, so we had to send them back home. And the parents weren't happy that they had to send them home because they don't want to be bothered with them.
So
you learn a lot, and so many of them, I just felt so sorry for them. If I could take them, I would have took them, but I can't. No, because I couldn't do that.
Cause see, parents, what happened is, I think that the parents lost control. Okay.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have, you have to have control of your kids at a young age. You have to from when they're born. When they first come out of that womb, you have to, you know, nurture them and have the discipline, you know, as they grow and keep, you know, keep it to them, okay? And because what happens is, you know, especially the parents that don't know how to parenting or becomes a bother to them because they, you know, a lot of these, you know, these women who've gotten pregnant from these guys and they just had these kids, okay? And then, you know, and then they, you know, they can't possibly know how to parent or don't have the time or it's just a check to them, okay? Then you know, little Bernard or little Eddie, he just goes on off about his own little business, okay, and creates his own little family, okay, and he don't have no daddy there to tell him. So, boy, I'll knock you in your head if you do that, okay? You know, get your butt in here, okay? You know, and so the mother, there's no daddy around, and then the mother, she may be scared. So, boy, just go on, get out of my face. Here, take this and get out of my face, okay?
They lose interest in the children.
Yeah,
they really do.
Right. And so then little Tommy or whatever, he's out there doing his thing, okay? And, so that's a sad part about it is that the whole parenting thing has broke down, all right? And, because when I was a kid on my block, I don't think there were any single parents. I think everybody on my block, there was a mama and there was a daddy, okay? And they had kids, and they all had to, you know, we had certain rules. You had to be in by a certain time. You had to do this and that, okay? And that's how it was, okay? You know,
a lot of it, too, not to interrupt you when you said that, just came to my mind. A lot of that, too, is we want to be our kids' friends. You know, we want to hang out with the kid. We want to be the parent. We want to be the friend. It's more important, and it's more in or fashionable to be their friends, opposed to being the parent and laying down the iron fist and let them know you can't do this, you can't do that. It's more important for me to be their friend than for me to the disciplinarian in the family.
Right. And I think a lot of that comes from the media. Okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
These visions and images that they get from these TV shows and the rap videos and all that kind of stuff. Okay. You know.
Yeah.
To where and that's just, you know, because it's all changed from when I grew up. Okay. I mean, it's just, you know, there just wasn't that there. Okay. You didn't have those influences, you know, influencing you. Okay. And then if it was on TV, like we had certain channels we could watch. And certain times we could watch TV, okay?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we had family night where we sat down and we had dinner, and, you know, and there was no such thing about going and eating in your room, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, we sat down as a family, we ate dinner, we talked about what was going on, okay? And then the kids got up and we washed the dishes and cleaned the kitchen, all right? And then my dad would come in and inspect the kitchen, make sure we did a good job, okay? And, That's just not there anymore. The kids, they grab whatever, they go to McDonald's or they grab it, take their food in their room and eat it and have their big plasma screens and get on their phones and talk to their friends and text them and, you know. I'm telling you.
That's
it's
more
just,
important.
You know,
it's a very big breakdown in the family, structure. It is a real big. I really believe that a mother and father should be the two heads of the family, but also there's a possibility that the father is not going to be there. And not all kids come from single parents are bad kids. That have issues. It's not a lot of them. You know, might think that it's a lot, but it's not, because you got people who have a mother and father, and they can.
They're still screwed.
Because you got two family members that you got a mom and dad that don't know how to handle you, like you said earlier, do not know how to parent.
Right. And you don't
know how to parent, and you're trying to be the parent, and you've never even taken time out to see how to be a parent, and then you take on this child, and you don't know how to handle him. You know, you guys are fighting among each other trying to figure out how to discipline this child.
Right.
It goes both ways now. It's at the point where
it really doesn't
matter whether dad's in the house or not. It's worse all across the board.
But I think it's most likely that if you have a good foundation at home,
yeah,
then then you're less likely, kids are less likely to go astray.
Exactly.
Okay. And when I say a good foundation, I mean that could be either, that could be a single parent, you know, if you have a, if you have a strong mother who said, look, boy, you know, you ain't going out here like that, okay, all right. Or if you have a father who said, look, boy, you know, you ain't got no mom, but I'm going to be here, okay, you know, but, you know, so whether you have two parents or one strong parent, it's got to be somebody in that household that's going to put down the law, okay, you know, and say, these are the rules here, and you're going to follow them, okay.
And if you, you don't, there's consequences to everything you
there's
do.
There's consequences, yeah. A lot of the kids, they don't understand that there's consequences, right.
I think if we probably kind of talk to them about the consequences first before the action, maybe they wouldn't do it. I don't know. I don't know if that will work or not. How do we, Mr. Danger Man, can we contact you if we want to, for you to come and do a showing or how do you call it?
Right.
You know what I'm wondering.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's a couple ways. They can either call me at 818-752-3952. They can email us at urban.superhero@gmail.com. All right.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube, I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn. All right. And Pinterest, okay. I'm on Instagram. I'm all over. You could just Google me and put in Danger Man, the Urban Superhero Contact, and you'll be surprised, okay. And I can be right there at your door within a matter of minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Look, blink your eye, and I'm there.
That's right. That's right. You know. So. Yeah, serious, just like that, even quicker than Craigslist, okay? You know. They say you can get everything on Craigslist, okay? You know.
Yeah, you know. Sure can. That is so true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I really
enjoyed this interview.
Well,
awesome.
Thank you.
Doing what you're doing. I mean, I would love to get you down here with some of these kids here. I would really love
to
get you coming.
I'm looking forward to coming down there because, you know, and we're going to come down there and spend a couple of days. So I'm going to let you know as we start to put our schedule together, okay?
Awesome.
And
awesome.
We'll look forward to it, okay? And
awesome.
So I want to thank you. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope you have a very happy holiday, a Thanksgiving and everything.
You too, sir.
All right.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye.
Thank you so much. All right. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You guys, we have just finished up our interview with Danger Man, very enlightening, very intelligent man who braved to just go out and be this superhero. And he's real. People might not think it's, you know, but it's real. And I think it's awesome that he did that. I mean, I think it's awesome. I can't wait to meet him. I can't wait to get him down here. But before we go, we got about a couple more minutes. I'm going to play Hero real quick. Go ahead and play it.
You know how to treat a woman Thank you. the hedonist, but the simplest way I can put it, you become a habit. The more I consume, the more I gotta have it. Ain't no such thing as too much. If you gave me everything, it'd never be enough. Yeah, my black coffee with sugar, no cream. In the morning, I'm a super double caffeine dream. Yeah,
your fresh darkness got me so strung out and loving the way that you got me so wide open, my baby. Chosen and feeling under my skin, my nerves are screaming when you're not here. See, baby, I need ya. Sugar, you're so delicious.
There is something about your love that makes me just wanna open up your face.